Ezra chapter 8. Tonight we're going to be talking about leadership qualities. J. Oswald Sanders made this comment. He said, "True greatness, true leadership is found in giving yourself in service to others, not in coaxing or inducing others to serve you." It's a good thought. True greatness and true leadership is found in giving yourselves to serve others, not in coaxing or enticing others to serve you. Leadership is about giving ourselves to help others. It's just like the definition of love we've been talking about, giving yourself to meet the needs of another, expecting nothing in return. And most of us are leaders in one way or another. I mentioned that this morning. You know that we may lead at work, we may lead at home, we may lead at church. Husbands are to lead in their families and to lead their wives and their children. Parents are to lead their children and to guide them spiritually. Children are often leaders amongst their siblings and even maybe a school. We are all leaders of some sort, and unfortunately, not every leader is a quality leader. We're not all quality leaders. We need to work at being a quality leader. It takes effort. And Ezra here was a quality leader, and he gives us some great tips on how to be a quality leader by just looking at his life and what he did. And so we're going to look at the things that he did here in chapter 8 and see how he was a quality leader and see what we can learn from this. So as we find these things, think to yourself, do I have that quality? Is this something I need to work on? All right, so the very first thing we see here is that Ezra organized their trip. Now, let's just back up for a moment and put ourselves in the context. What we've been looking at here was we've been working our way through Ezra. Ezra, last week we saw, was chosen by the king to go back from Babylon, back to Jerusalem, to educate the people spiritually. They had already built their temple. Zerubbabel and others had worked on the temple, and then Haggai, Zechariah preached to them and encouraged them and motivated them, and they got the temple finished. And years had passed. Remember we said between chapter 6 and chapter 7 there was a 60-year gap there. And now Ezra comes on the scene. He's gone back to Jerusalem for the purpose of training the people, reintroducing them to the scriptures, helping them to understand the scriptures. Now, one thing that's a key thing that you can stick in your cogs and think about. Remember the books of 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles? We have 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. All right? The 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles are the same as... No, sorry, I get it. 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings are the same as 1st and 2nd Chronicles. So 1st and 2nd Chronicles are kind of a digest of those first four books. Now, why was that? Remember we said that the Chronicles were written about the time of what we're looking at right here, about the time of Ezra. And they were written for the purpose of helping the people that went back to Jerusalem. They had been 70 years in slavery in Babylon, and now they've gone back to Jerusalem, and they need to know how to worship God. They've been in Babylon for all this time. They didn't have a temple. They didn't have any worship in the same way that they did in Jerusalem. And so they needed to relearn all these things of what God expected of them. They needed a re-understanding of their history. And so the Chronicles give us more of a condensed spiritual version of the history that took place in the Samuels and the Kings. All right? So it was a condensed version of that, more focused on the spiritual side of it, less on the historical side of it, and to help us to understand the things that were needed in their spiritual worship. So Ezra's there going back to get this reestablished. And the first thing we see in Ezra chapter 8 and verse number 1 is that Ezra organize the trip. That is a good quality of a leader, of organization. Verse number 1 says, "And these are now the chief of the fathers, and this is the genealogy of them that went up with me from Babylon." All right, he's talking about Ezra. Went up with me from Babylon in the reign of Artaxerxes the king. And then he lists off these various people that went with him. He was the leader. He was the one who was organizing all of this. And he led this expedition back from Babylon back to Israel. Now, leaders must lead. That's pretty obvious. That's what a leader is supposed to do. But many times we don't feel like being a leader. You know, you may be in a position where you just say, let somebody else lead today. I don't feel like leading. But God wants us to be good leaders. For example, husbands, we need to lead our homes. And we need to lead by example. It's not easy. We have to be an example before our family. And parents need to lead their children in paths of truth. And again, it's by example. You know, the best way to lead someone is through example. And you just tell somebody to do what I say and not what I do, that doesn't work very good. But you lead by example and say, I'll show you how, follow me, let's do it the way it's supposed to be done. That's leading by example. And Ezra was one of those men who was a leader by example. Others were following him and his leadership. And he knew the people who were under him. Verses 2 to 14, I'm not going to take the time to read all those big names. But these were some of the leaders that were under Ezra during this time. And he knew who they were. He knew them by name. He knew how many were in their families and their groups that were there. He knew the congregation that was going with him. He had been organized. He was organized in all of these things that he was dealing with here regarding the people that were going with him. And now being organized as a leader takes work. It's not easy to keep organized. There's too many things to distract us. And if you find it difficult to be organized, ask the Lord to help you. Lord, help me to know how to be more organized. Some people seem to take a natural bend toward organization, and others are scattered. And they just, nothing's very organized. And if you're one of those that have the scatter brain that doesn't organize very good, you need to just ask God to help you to become more organized and to keep things as organized as you can. Because that's a quality of a leader. We see another quality here of Ezra is that he inspected the travelers. All right, verse number 15. Verse 15 says, "And I gathered them together at the river, to the river that runneth to Ahava, and there abode we in tents 3 days. And I viewed the people and the priests, and found there none of the sons of Levi." All right, so here's the situation. He gathered all the people together who were traveling with him. He says, all right, we're going to meet at the river. And he gathered them all down there. Now, how many people were with him? Well, there's a lot of people with him. The Bible, if you go through and count up all these ones that he has already mentioned here in the first 14 verses, if you add that all together, you'll find that there were 1,754 males. Didn't count the females, but there were females with them. And there were children with them. Many scholars estimate that the number of travelers were between 5,000 and 7,000. Now, that's a good-sized group. You have 7,000 people out there, and you're trying to lead them. It takes organization, and it takes skill to be able to lead that kind of size of a group. And Ezra here, he's got them all. He says, all right, we're going to meet down at the river. This is our starting point. Meet there on this such and such a day. We're going to meet down at the river, and that's where we're going to begin our trip. So Ezra gathered all of them down at the river to begin their journey. And then he viewed the people. He went through all that was there, and he viewed the people. And he went down family by family, looking at them and evaluating them, and said, all right, what do we got here? We've got priests. We've got you know, some of these leaders. We've got the various kinds. He said, wait a minute, where are all the Levites? There aren't any Levites. Now, what were the Levites? Anybody remember? Who were the Levites? No. Who were the Levites? John?
The priestly.
What?
The priestly.
No. The Levites. The Levites were the ones that were the workers in the temple. Right? They were of the tribe of Levi. The priests were also of the tribe of Levi. Right? They were. The priests were. But the Levites were the people that were not priests. They weren't of the line of Aaron. They weren't of the family of Aaron. They were the Levites, the tribe that were not the family of Aaron. They were the rest of them were there for the purpose of helping in the temple. So they did all the different various kinds of work in the temple and the helping with the care of the temple and all the different things and carrying it when they were moving the tabernacle. They weren't doing the temple. Tabernacle here. But in Moses' day, the Levites helped carry the tabernacle, take it down, put it up and all that. But they got a temple now. But the Levites were the servants in the temple. And remember, Ezra is going back for the purpose of reestablishing their faith and helping them understand what God wanted them to do. And he says, we've got to have Levites. And so he says, we're going to have to wait here until we can get some Levites. So he sent out some men and said, I want you to go through the country and see if you can find any of the Levites that will come with us. And sure enough, they went through the, they found some Levites to come, and they brought those Levites back because we said we got to have some Levites. And he tells us here in verse number 17, and I sent them and commanded unto Iddo, the chief of the at the place of Cassaphia, and I told them that they should what they should say unto Iddo and his brethren, the Nethinims, at the place of Cassaphia, that they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding of the sons of Mahli, the son of Levi, the son of Israel. And so they got the ones they wanted. And he notice here he says it was the good hand of God upon us that brought these men to us. So they were, he examined the troops and saw that there were some that were missing. We need some of those Levites. And so he saw that. Now that's an important thing. You know, one of the key things of leadership, and you know, I have found even in my own leadership situations, a lot of times it can slip by and you don't even think about it for a long time. And that is, we need to examine what's going on. Let's take inventory of what's taking place here. Who's doing what? What's taking place? And examine these things. You know, leaders in our homes, as leaders in our homes, we periodically need to inspect our families. You know, as husbands, you know, how's your wife doing spiritually and physically and emotionally in all of these areas of her life? How's she doing? Remember there, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, husbands, live together with your wife according to knowledge. Yeah, you need to know about her. And then also, as parents, do us good to examine our children and just ask those same kind of questions. How are they doing spiritually? How are they doing physically? What are their needs? You know, we just go plodding on with life and just trying to keep things going from day to day. And we sometimes get so busy we don't even think about examining the people under us. And so he says that's an important thing to do. And so Ezra was a good leader in this. He examined those that were under him, and he made sure that everything was in order. Now the next thing we see of Ezra here is that he sought God's guidance. Verse number 21. Verse number 21. Then I proclaimed a fast at the river Ahava that we might afflict ourselves before our God and seek him. Seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for our substance. Now, they're just about ready to take off on their trip. And he says, one of the things we've got to do is we need to spend time with God. We need to pray for direction. You know, he led the people to fast and pray, seeking God's direction for the journey. This was very important. They needed to know what God wanted them to do. They needed to know direction from God. And they sought the Lord how they should go the right way. What's the right way to go? You know, that long journey. Remember we said it was a 900-mile journey. So we're talking, you know, well over 1,000 kilometers of traveling. And this isn't down a big road. It's just wandering through the trails that followed the Euphrates River up to the upper part and then crossed the mountains and back down to Israel. It was not an easy journey. And they could easily, they hadn't been that way before, it'd be easy to get off track. You get to a place where there's a split in the road. Where do we go? Do we go to the right? Do we go to the left? I don't know. You can't pull up a Google map. I mean, they just had to know God's mind. And so they said, God, you need to lead us and show us what you want, so that we know the right way to go. So they spent time praying for direction. And then they also prayed for God's protection, because it was a dangerous journey as well. So they asked the Lord to protect them. And he notices here, he talks about for all our substance. Verse number 22, he says, and I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all of them that for good that seek him, and his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated for us. Now this is an important thing. Nehemiah, or Ezra here, he says, I probably had the authority. I could have asked the king for an escort, but he says, I didn't feel right about that. We had told the king, who wasn't even a believer, as far as we know, they told the king, God will take care of us. And he says, well, we better make sure that we trust God in this. So they petitioned God, said, God, you know there's all kinds of thieves and bandits and wild animals and all kinds of things that haunt along these roads here. It's not a safe journey. It's a dangerous journey. And we could run into all kinds of problems. And remember, they were also carrying treasures. You know, they were carrying some of these vessels that were valuable, and gold and silver vessels that they were taking back to the temple with them. It would have been a prime group of people to target by all the terrorists that are along the way and trying to rob them and steal from them. And that God protected them. And he looks ahead there in verse number 23. He says, so we fasted and sought our God for this, and he was entreated for us. God answered their prayers. And we see that they eventually, in a few verses, he tells us that they made it there safely. Now, very important thing, and our marriages and families face many uncertainties and choices that we need to make. And, you know, there's dangers and things in life and all kinds of things. We need to pray. We need to pray. We live in a world that is full of troubles and problems and dangers and hardships. And, you know, there are many more things today out there to destroy our families and our young people than there was when I was a boy. Lots more out there than there was. I mean, I know I'm an ancient fossil. All right, but when I was a boy, you guys think of this. When I was a boy, I had never heard of a computer. I never knew there was such a thing as a cell phone. They didn't exist. And there was no internet. I mean, nobody had a computer. I knew nobody that owned a computer until I got into college or beyond. You know, I'm an old fossil. But that's the way it was. And you guys, now, all this stuff is out there to corrupt us and pull us and deceive us. And the pornography that is readily available to anybody now didn't exist in those days. And the music, back when I was a kid, there was some music that wasn't very good, but it was nothing like the rubbish they got today. I mean, people didn't dream, even in the pagan songs, they didn't dream of using foul, filthy swear words in their songs. Maybe the real bad ones, I didn't listen to them, but most of them wouldn't do that. But now, you can't even go to the grocery store without hearing some story of some running off of somebody or swearing and cursing and cussing. And we live in a different day. And we need to pray, God, you've got to protect us. There's a dangerous world out there. So leaders are prayers. Leaders are going to lead their family in prayer and ask God for help and protection. We see also that Ezra sought God's, not only his direction, but his protection here for his life. Then he delegated the work. He delegated work. Verse number 24. Then I separated 12 of the chief priests. And he names off who they were. And he weighed unto them the silver and the gold and the vessels of the offering of the house of God, which the king and his counselors and his lords and all Israel their present had offered. All right, so there's all these gifts and offerings of gold and valuable things. And he says, we've got to take this back with us. And what he did is he chose 12 people that were responsible and trustworthy people, and he weighed it out to them. All right, you can imagine he's got his paper there, and he says, all right, Joe, you're going to take this, and you've got, 2 kilo of this gold here. All right, exactly 2 kilo. All right, and you better have that when we get to the other end. All right, and he's going down. He made a list of all the people that were carrying the gold in the treasures, wrote down what they had and how much they had. They weighed it. And so then when they got to the other end, we're going to see that they actually did. They checked it out and make sure that it was all there. And so he's very organized in this. He's delegating work. So he didn't do it all. You know, many times there's a temptation to just do it ourselves because it's easier. Yeah, you know, I remember even when our boys was young, there were times that we had a job to do, and I knew I could do it faster and more efficiently myself. But I needed to have them help. I needed to teach them to work. And so we need to delegate stuff, even though it may be easier to do it ourselves. And so there's delegation involved. And he's delegating some of these duties to these, and they were carrying these burdens. You know, that's also another thing. You think about these men that were chosen to carry this stuff. It wasn't all wonderful. I mean, you've already got all your household stuff to take back, and now, on top of that, I got, you know, this gold I got to take. Oh, this is going to be a nuisance. And it makes it more dangerous, because now you've got valuables, and you're going to be held accountable at the other end if it isn't there. So there's all these things weighing heavy on him, but these were men that were trustworthy, and he delegated the work to them. And, you know, as leaders, we too need to delegate some of our duties. You know, as husbands, our wives, there's a lot of things our wives can do better than we can do. And it's humbling to admit that, but it's true. There's things that my wife can do far better than I can do. And it's only wise to delegate those things to her. Why should I do the things that's hard for me and it's easy for her? I might as well delegate it. That's a wise thing to do. And you know, it's true in our families. Delegate some of the work to our children. What a wonderful thing that, you know, children are not there just to make life more busy for us. They can be of help to us. They can help us with cleaning. They can help us. You know, our boys, when they were home, we had all kinds of routines. You know, one of them would clean this room, another one clean this room, and they had their different chores and on this day and that day and the various things that they did. And it was a help to us, but it was also a help to them. You know, they've told us since then, they said, Dad, thanks for teaching us to work. Thanks for teaching us to work. It's a blessing. And they appreciate that now, that they learned to work when they were young. So that's an important thing for us to do. And get them into the Bible. You know, make sure that they're reading the Bible every day. Very important thing. Delegate that to them so that they get responsible and they know, hey, I need to read my Bible today. And that's a key thing. Remember, Romans 10:17. What's that say? It says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So as they're in the Word of God, they're going to hear that and it's going to speak to their heart and it's going to instill faith in them so that they can put their faith and trust in Christ and it'll help them all the way around. So they need to be in the Word of God. So we need to delegate things like that to them. And there's an old saying that says, what you expect, you need to inspect. What you expect, you need to inspect. You, if you expect them to do a job, you need to inspect it to make sure they did the job. Because we're all got lazy streaks in us, and we don't always do things the way we're supposed to. So if we get inspected, we make sure it gets done right. Then another thing Ezra does here, another quality, number 5 on my list here, and that is that Ezra gave God the glory. Ezra gave God the glory. We see in verse number 31 that he credited God for all that took place. Then we departed from the river Ahava the 12th day of the first month to go into Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such that lay in wait by the way. And we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days. So he says the good hand of our God was upon us. Good God took care of us in a good way. God met our needs. And so he gives God the glory for protecting them and caring for them during that 14-week trip that they took. He jumps over that trip completely. I mean, he probably could have spent pages and pages describing all the details of the hardships of the trip and crossing this river and going over this mountain and through this valley. And oh, today there was a lion that came out and almost attacked us, and we God protected us from it. And then there was these bandits that we saw, and our men were able to fight them off. And you know, oh, he could have gave all kinds of descriptions of problems they had along the way, but he skips over all that. And he says, God was good to us. God's good hand was upon us, and God took care of us. So he gives God the glory for all this, and gives him the praise for protecting them in all these ways. You know, I hope that when we reach heaven, that we'll be able to talk to the Lord and he'll tell us of all the times that he has protected us from things in this life that we don't know anything about. There are loads of times when things have been lined up and we could have been in a disaster and God took care of us and we didn't even know about it and God was good. Lots of times like that. There's a few times that we see that outwardly, and one of them that stands out in my mind, and I've told you before, but it just was so vivid in my mind that I've never forgotten it. Years and years ago, probably 25 years ago, we went down to Bunbury area for a church gathering of some sort. And it was at a park. And I pulled up, you know how they have all those little posts along the park there to keep you out of where you're not supposed to go. I pulled up against one of those, but there was a way of getting out in front of me like that. So anyway, we're getting ready to go. We're all packed up, everybody's leaving, and Well, we got in the car and I got ready to go. And I thought, oh, I might as well just go straight. It'd be easier that way. So I went forward, crunch. I thought, ran into one of those posts. I didn't know it was there. And it crunched into the front of the car. And I checked it all out. And it slowed us down for probably half an hour by the time I got off that post and made sure there was no damage done and all that kind of stuff. And I was just really kind of irritated, you know, that we get slowed down by half an hour. And we got out on the road and we're traveling along. And we got, as we were traveling along, not very far up the road, there had been a head-on car crash. People laying on the road, people dead. Tragic. And it would have happened about the time we would have been there. It could have been us. God took care of us. I was disgusted about a crunched front bumper, but I'd rather have a crunched front bumper than be involved in that. God is good to us. And you know, that's just one time that God let us see something. But how many times in your life and in mine has God done things like that that we didn't know anything about, but when we get to heaven, I hope He'll be able to say, God, can we just sit down and talk about all the different times you did that? He said, yeah, I did this. Remember that? Really? You did that? Yeah, I did that one. Oh, that one too? Wow. There's so many things. God, all the time He's doing things for us to help us, and we don't even know about it. And here Ezra gives God the glory and praise for the protection that God gave him. And then one last thing that we see here regarding his leadership is that Ezra finished the task. He finished the job. In verse 33, it says, now the fourth day was the silver and the gold and the vessels weighed in the house of our God by the hand of Marioth, the son of Uriah, the priest. All right, so all the guys that were carrying all the gold and silver and stuff, they went in there and said, all right, time for weighing it out. Here's the list of what they brought. Make sure it says the same. So they're going down through the list. They finished the task. That was probably, you know, they not a very nice time. You know, you have to go, hey, come on, let's make sure all this gold's here. Never, not even a gram of it missing. We need it all. And they weigh it all out. Everything's fine. And then he leads them in worship. Verse 35, and the children, and also the children of those that had been carried away, which were come out of the captivity, offered burnt offerings unto the God of Israel, 12 bullocks for all of Israel, 90 and 6 rams and 70 and 7 lambs and 12 he-goats for a sin offering. All of this was a burnt offering unto the Lord. So here they worship the Lord. They offer their sacrifice to the Lord. They have a time of tangible worshiping. You know, that in the Old Testament days when they gave their sacrifices and had their burnt offerings and things, that was a tangible thing that they could do to say thank you to God. You know, today we take and have offerings and things of that nature. And so when you give to the Lord through the offering or their tithes and offerings, that is a tangible way you can say thank you to God. Lord, I love you. Thank you very much for what you've done for me. And here I'm giving you a portion of what you've done for me. That is a tangible way. But they did that. So here they're finishing the work. They're having this worship time. And then we see that lastly that he delivers the commissions of the king to the leaders there in Israel. Remember, there's the Persian leaders overseeing the province of Israel. And it says in verse 36, and they delivered the king's commissions unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors on this side of the river. And they furthered the people and the house of God. Now, so they deliver this. Remember, the king had said, all right, you're supposed to take care of them. You're not supposed to charge them any taxes. You're supposed to meet their needs and supply for all their supplies and provide for their offerings. All the things that the king said. So all this is in the letter that he gives to these government leaders and said, this came from the king. This is what the king wants you to do. And then it says there that these lieutenants and governors furthered the people. That word further there, look that one up sometime. It means to lift up. They lifted up the people and the house of God. So what it was is that they lifted them up and said, all right, good, go for it. The king said, you can do this. It's all yours. Here's the money you need. Lifted them up, cheered them up, encouraged them. And it was a blessing to the people. So now Ezra has finished his work. Now let's just summarize these things once again. Ezra's leadership qualities, he organized the trip. He inspected the travelers. He sought God's guidance. He delegated the work. He gave God the glory. And he finished the work. Leadership qualities. And those are things that all of us need. You know, we may not be facing the same things that he faced, but we do face issues. We face things that we need to be leadership over. And we need to ask ourselves, how am I doing in that? As husbands and in our marriages, how are we doing in leading in our marriage? And as parents, are we leading our children the way we ought to lead them? Teaching them, training them, guiding them, and showing them the way that God wants them to go. Are we leading them? And maybe you have a leadership position at work. You got people working under you. Right? How well are you leading in that? How are you doing with that? You know, you may not be the boss, but you may have other people that are under you in your position. And you need to teach them and train them and tell them how to do things. And are you the leader that God wants you to be? So we need to ask God, God, help me to be organized, to inspect things, to seek your guidance, to delegate, to give you the glory when you help us, and to do the work that you want me to do. All leadership qualities. Okay? Lots for us to think on and work on. And displaying these qualities is not easy. And we're going to need God's help. And so we need to ask God to show us what the needs are and to help us. You know, you might want to set aside a quiet time even tonight and just say, Lord, you know that I've got this leadership position. Whatever it may be. Maybe a parent, maybe a husband, maybe at work, maybe some, you know, at school. But Lord, what do I need to do to be a better leader? How can I be a better leader? What needs to change? How can I become more of what you want me to be? And then, just as God reveals to you what needs to be done, then seek his help in being that leader that God wants you to be. Those under us need to be able to see Christ in our leadership. They need to see Christ in our lives as we lead.